What's up, you guys? My name is Aisha.
And I'm Mariah.
And you are listening to your local brown girl podcast. Okay, listen, I need to stop singing on this. I need to stop turning on the microphone and just singing.
Automatically feeling the need to
sing. It's so bad. This is kind of your local brown girls today.
Oh.
Mariah's joining me. That's very fun. This used to be your local brown girls podcast. I don't know if y'all recall, Yumha used to do the podcast with me before she left.
I remember when it was two people.
And then yeah. It was just me with guests. So Mariah's joining me again. I believe our last episode we talked about cancel culture.
I think we did.
Yeah, so you guys liked that episode a lot, so she is back. I hope you guys like the new ads that I have going on.
I was featured on not one, but two.
Two. She did a great job reading the script.
I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
I focus really hard. You know I am.
I saw that. She's not great at reading out loud. We're in the same lit class, so I would know. I'm great at reading aloud.
You wouldn't know because I haven't chosen to read out loud. That's how bad I am of it.
I'm feeling pretty good. Today's been a pretty good day. My boss does listen to this podcast, if I recall correctly, and I missed work today, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. So, hey Heather, moving on very quickly.
Pivot. Hey.
Y'all didn't know, but, I am a server on the side, so this podcast is making me big money. So whenever you hear an ad, don't get annoyed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make moves.
Let's think of,
how's your day going, Mariah?
That's what I was gonna say. Let's think of my day. Pretty good. I'd say my general weekend has been a bit annoying because my ACT was canceled and I was supposed to do that today. But, I was trying to think of it. I went to sleep. Well, I was really annoyed at first.
Just try not to give away, like, identifying information about who you are. I always forget to tell people.
Okay.
Guys, please don't try to kill us.
Okay, so not about where I am or anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so.
Or, like, your social security number.
I won't say my credit card information. That's what I was going next.
Oh. All right, good.
But anyway, so I went to bed, and I was in, like, a bad mood about my ACT getting canceled, just because I was, you know, ready for it. Well, not really ready for it, but I was going to take it. And I was annoyed that the process was getting stretched out even longer.
Cause just trying to get it over with.
Yeah, I was supposed to be finished within April, and it's now October that I'm going to take it. But, you know, I woke up this morning, fresh mindset. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe it was a blessing in disguise.
I was actually, just before we start recording, checking out my statistics with Mariah, and a lot of you guys are older, so... Hey, oldies.
That you guys might not even relate to what I just said. But just know the kids hate.
We haven't taken a standardized test in a while. We, ACTs, SATs are being delayed because of COVID. Shit's weird with applying to college right now, which is what me and Mariah are both doing.
And no one seems to be giving us much
help. No one cares. Yeah. They're like, hey, girl, the economy? We're not going to worry about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have bigger things. Fish to fry.
And if you're not from America, which also I found out a lot of you aren't, ACT is a standardized test we take to get into our school. It's like the A levels for the UK, which also got screwed over because of COVID. So, because believe it or not, y'all, I subscribe to The Telegraph, which is a British newspaper.
You never know when you're going to need to know British news.
So I'm just really up to date on all of British news. I started when, like, Meghan Markle was, like, huge in British news. And then I just never unsubscribed, and now I'm just, like, really up to date on what's going on there. Like, their A-levels, they have a predicted score, and then they get their test back, and they never took their A-levels. Instead, a machine, like, predicted what their score would have been, and then a lot of them did...
That's what the PSAT does, I think.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a pre-ACT.
Sorry. I'm not a fanatic. Unless it's British, I don't care.
Right. For real, you're like, you think
I'm
care?
Like, let me go ahead and tell you about the A-levels, bitch. And basically, the machine gave people, like, really, really bad scores that were predicted to get amazing scores. So, obviously, everyone was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Pause. So, yeah, that's kind of crazy. I personally am vibing, except not really. Let's move on to a darker note.
You said you were happy for the last couple of days.
I have been, but then yesterday, news broke that our very own Ruth Bader Ginsburg has passed away. The transition there was very smooth. How we feeling? Crickets. Yeah, it's because you guys can't talk about it. I found out when I was on a date, and I was just vibing, living my life. It was a white man, which, you know, we all know how we feel. open up my phone, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died, is a notification, and it just came in. It said, from now. Mm-hmm. And I say it, I'm like, that's crazy. And he's like, I'm impartial.
That's what he said?
Yeah. I was like, all right, King, let me go ahead and stop you right there. And yeah,
said, let's stop so we don't ruin this day.
Yeah, let me go ahead and educate you on today. Roe v. Wade and tell you to shut up. Yeah, it's definitely not, like, I think I should just put a disclaimer, because this is a podcast, I don't edit, I'm very open about that, this is just, like, kind of stream of consciousness. This is not in any way, criticizing Ruth, RBG, Ruth, Ruth RBG. This is an honor for her, this is just something that I want to use to memorialize her and to discuss, like, what her legacy is gonna be that she leaves behind. Anything beyond that is not gonna be talked about today. We're just gonna be talking about what she means to us as a role model, which I think to argue that she wasn't a role model for many, many women is quite frankly stupid. Mm-hmm. And if you feel that way, either stick around, listen, and see how you might be wrong, or head on out, buddy boy! Yeah. Mariah, do you want to start with, like, talking about your initial thoughts or just whatever you want, really, concerning the topic at hand?
I would say that yesterday night was a bit of a whirlwind. I was PMSing pretty bad, so I was already on my fourth cry of the night.
PMSing for the clueless babies in the crowd is when you're just... It's premenstrual syndrome, but, like...
Maybe it's... Is it pre or is it?
It's pre, but people use it as an umbrella blanket term to just describe any time you're upset or like hurting from your period. Mm-hmm. So yeah, pain.
Pain having to do with your menstruation.
Menstruation.
Yeah, anyone who menstruates.
Shedding that ovulation blanket that's in your uterus.
Yeah, but so I was PMSing. Very small detail that got a really long explanation. But, yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's like a little footnote. Anyway, so I was already on my fourth cry of the night.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. And it was just about separate things that are of no relevance. But then I got the... Well, pretty much, Cindy just texted. She said, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, dash. And I knew that she had cancer and that she, like, was really old and, like... was trying to hold on to stick around, and I was like, no. And then Yumha responded with, like, a sad face, and I was like... So then I, like, tapped the screen, because I wasn't even in the messages at that point. I was just, like, looking at it.
And this is a group chat Mariah, like, and I are both on.
Yeah, and I was like, say psych. Like, no. Like, did she die? And
you're then playing.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah. And I literally... That was my fifth cry of the night. Like, I really did.
He said,
like,
I'm losing it.
Yeah, I really did burst into tears. I did not expect to, like, cry as much as I did, but it made me really sad. I don't know. I just feel like, I tend to have a personality where I'm obsessive and I idolize things and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not good. I know that, you know.
We've talked about that on the cancel culture episode. We've talked about
that
on the cancel one,
that you shouldn't idolize people you don't know, whether it's a celebrity or even romantically.
Uh-huh.
You know, just don't idolize people, you know, because everyone's people. But I did idolize her. All that being said, just because of who I am, it's not that I don't know all
you
those
do
things.
Have
I just...
like a bit of an empathetic bone that I think gets involved in that.
Yeah. So, you know, just as I stan Harry Styles, I did stan Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So it made me really sad, just because she was always really inspiring to me. Like when I first realized I wanted to be a lawyer, I just googled, like, girl lawyers, pretty much.
And she was the poster child.
Yeah, and she was pretty much, like, the biggest and really the only representative we had for a long time before other people started getting more women, like, started getting into,
even
like,
now,
more
honestly.
Notable politics in general and stuff, and it's not like I was keeping up with senators and stuff when I was 8, so, like, when you just google the top people, it just says Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And Mariah and I, honestly... as, like, just to acknowledge the criticisms of her, we're both young women of color, you know? As people that would be, you know, on that critical side, we can acknowledge how important her impact was. Yeah. Like,
things can coexist.
She a beautiful way I like to look at it is whenever you see a picture of her, just like her torso and up, powerhouse. Yeah. You know what I mean? She looks scary. Mm-hmm. Like, she looks like someone who doesn't care about you. Mm-hmm. But I saw this picture that Barack Obama posted with her, and she is so small.
Yeah.
She's like 5 foot maybe, mm-hmm. and like 100 pounds.
She's very little.
Very petite. Small woman. And I really never comprehended the fragility of her existence because she never allowed it to be publicized.
Point. Yeah.
It was not what she was. She was powerful because she wanted to be perceived as that.
She was the one writing all the fiery dissents.
Exactly.
Even when the decisions came out that like weren't progressive and mm-hmm. weren't on the side that she voted on, her dissents alone would carry so much impact.
Exactly.
Like, it
everyone
almost,
knew it.
Yeah, exactly. It almost felt like the court voted wrong because her dissent was so strong. It was like, dang, like, she was right. No matter what side you're on, really. It just made the whole decision.
Yeah.
It felt less just because of the dissents that she would write. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to use position. Your power as a justice, even when you can't have your way, is, you know, amplifying what is right. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a certain type of woman, at least what I've noticed in my observations of society, there's a certain type of woman that we vilify, you know? There's really just, it's a two-dimensional value we have of women. And I honestly never noticed it in media until I wrote this, like, analytical essay about witches and how we perceive them. Here's an example.
Have I read that? I feel like
you have read that.
Yeah.
It won the Scholastic Silver Key. Didn't want to flex, but now that you brought it up, it did win a statewide award.
Yeah.
An example, the three weird witches in Hamlet. Shakespeare wrote those, and they were warded, they were strange, and they were gross. And when you look at them, what was wrong with them? They had this extraordinary power where they could foresee the future. And that was what made them wrong. You know, that's what made them evil.
Because they had power.
Because they were strong women. And then, if you take a look at other depictions of witches, positive ones, for example, Harry Potter was written by a woman. Harry Potter was written by a woman, and there are a lot of controversial and problematic implications of J.K. Rowling's writing, but the fact is, that's a very positive depiction of a witch, and one of the only few, because a woman wrote it. And you can see those examples, like, what's that one show about witches? Sort of like a sea, Charmed.
Oh.
Yeah, Charmed was written by a woman. It had a mostly female writing cast, which was unusual for the era that it came out in. And witches on that show were badasses. They weren't gross. They weren't warty. They were cool.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Exactly.
I don't know if she was written by a woman, but I know she was a positive.
Precisely, that contemporary, you know, perspective on it. That duality, that you're either, you know, sweet and kind, especially hoodwinked, you know?
Mm.
There's the three witches, which are ugly and not fun at all. And then there's, like, that one random blonde chick. And she's just the protagonist, and she's just, ha, ha, ha. See, you can't even remember her. She does not pass, what's that test?
Have two conversations about something.
Determine, like, how developed female characters are in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, you know? There is the attractive woman, and then there's the unattractive woman. Powerful women fall under unattractive. But I never saw someone growing up who was powerful enough to not be attractive, who didn't care about what she looked like. She was not selling her sex appeal. She was selling her ideas. And I have nothing against selling your sex appeal. That's all you, baby. But I did not see anyone who was doing that. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not give a fuck if anyone thought she was bangable. She did not care if she was fulfilling anyone's needs, if she was fulfilling anyone's fetishes. She did not care what she looked like when she told people things. She just told them things.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided that she was going to be that unattractive woman. And I thought that was extremely powerful because that they're never there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to be young and fit and single to be a working woman. You cannot be old. You cannot age. You cannot be wise. You cannot be someone with bags under your eyes, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. But she, I don't know if she was, how old she was when she was on the Supreme Court, though.
Well, she, I think, was 87 when she passed.
Yeah.
And everyone on the Supreme Court is old.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the whole thing where you die with that job.
All that being said, she was very pretty.
Well, yeah, okay. Hold on. I'm saying, like, she was someone who made a point to make her words more important than her appearance.
Yeah.
And I never saw that.
I think that her words were so powerful that it didn't really matter what she looked like.
And
I mean, she...
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just saying that, like, I feel like really... It was, for me, like, it was inspiring the idea that she was a woman that had so much power and did whatever she wanted, but she still never shied away from being a woman.
Yeah, femininity.
Yeah, that's what made it really inspiring for me, because, you know, like, I always grew up and I always was very...
You thought they were separate.
Yeah, I had a very internalized misogynistic viewpoint on things. I didn't want to be too girly, even though I loved pink and I loved frilly things and wearing skirts and just doing all those stereotypically girly things. But I also knew that I wanted to do something really powerful. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to do something that was predominantly a male profession, especially a white male profession.
Yeah.
Like, still today, only, like, 1% of lawyers are black women. So it really wasn't like I had anything to look up to, period.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, it was things like, I didn't want to be, like, I didn't want to be too girly. So, like, pink was my favorite color. It was blue.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much why blue became my favorite color when I was little. It's just because it wasn't pink. It was like, oh, no, I don't like pink. I like blue. And I literally loved Justin Bieber. Like, I loved his song, but I acted like I hated it. Same with, like, One Direction.
Yeah.
And anything that girls liked, I was like, ugh. You know? And even, like...
Not like them.
Yeah. And even by, like, 2016, with everything with, like, Kanye and Taylor resurfaced, like...
Oh, yeah. It literally, I remember that!
It was a long period of time where I didn't like Taylor Swift, literally just because of internalized misogyny. Like, she had a very valid point of not wanting her naked wax figure to be... on there without her consent.
She had many valid points.
Yeah, and they faked her, like, voicemail or whatever. So it was, like, she had so many things, but I was just like, ugh, girl, so annoying. Like, voted her off immediately. And it was just things like that where it was, like, being a girl is never synonymous with, like, being powerful.
Not the positive connotation.
Yeah, and, like, not being in positions of power. And, like, it's always, like, even things that are, like, very empowering, like, wearing, like a boss suit, like a women's suit or whatever, even that, like, it's putting, I was just thinking about this in the car the other day, how putting on a suit, like, which was predominantly a male item, you know, they made women's suits after male suits, because it's, like, the idea of, like, having more masculine features makes you more powerful, makes you more intimidating.
Yeah.
And, like, it's never, like, you put on, like, a pink dress, like Elle Woods.
To look, exactly.
To look powerful, you know, like, she was almost, like, not a mockery, because she was supposed to be an icon for women.
It was a paradox.
It was a paradox, because everyone would look at her in her, like, pink outfits and be like, you can't be a lawyer.
How can they exist in one woman? How can she be that complex?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you can't be feminine, but also be powerful. And I was even, it's like, even the same way, like, when men have, do more feminine things, like, they're like, no, that's weak. Versus
or
when
they're
women,
like, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
You can only be, like, the effeminate.
Yeah. So,
you know,
if a man
person.
Decides to be more feminine, they're seen as weak. But if a woman decides to be more masculine, they're seen as more powerful.
Bossy.
Yeah.
Even.
They're like boss queen or like girl
just
boss.
Called like, called terrible slurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have definitely, can definitely see how RBG, like everything, and my unattractive comment does not coincide with femininity. Obviously, I agree with everything that Mariah was saying. I think that, I mean, I don't personally, I'm not feminine, but I definitely do have more of a masculine edge to me, I think. Like, I'm not androgynous at all, but, like, when I dress up, I'll wear, like, pantsuit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't wear, like, a dress and stuff like that. When I do look at women like RBG or AOC, oh, the acronyms, J-Lo.
Oh, yeah.
J-Lo.
RBG, AOC, J-Lo.
It kind of does tell me that they are who I want to be, and who the people that I want to be are being threatened by incels on the internet. And it's like, you know what? You can't get there without that.
Yeah.
you can't get to a place of high praise without high criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach you that, and they don't even mean to.
Yeah.
They do it when they're being respectful to other people, and they do it when they're being disrespectful, as they have a right to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the amount of pressure that was on her shoulders that I think I connect with the most. The cancer, she was a mother, I believe she was a grandmother as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically had all of America's, like, America's women on her shoulder asking for her help, you know what I mean? For her to be their representative. And she was happy to do it.
Yeah, she stepped up to the plate.
Exactly. And she did it with a brave face, and then she had to step out. And now we need to see what happens with her empty space.
And that's what... Because I feel like in the back of everyone's mind and in the back of her mind, when you die as a Supreme Court justice, it's not just you die, it's a political statement.
It's huge.
When you...
Especially her space.
Yeah, whether you retire or whether you pass away... It's a huge, huge thing that goes on. It's not like retiring from any other job, you know? It's not like you're a president or you're elected official and you just wait until your thing is up and then you just gracefully, you just don't run again and you're fine.
She said to her granddaughter within the last few days of her being alive, she said...
Her niece, I don't know.
But. With great fervor, that one of her biggest fears was figuring out
her last wish
who was going to replace her on the court, and that she said that we need to wait until we elect the next president.
So even she was aware of the fact of what her absence meant.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's such a huge weight, so it's impossible not to talk about her death without also talking about the political, like, ramifications of it.
Especially because of her nuance in politics. She's not everyone's favorite on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Even the left, you know what I mean? Like, there are people that believe that the votes that she's made in the past or the comments that she's made in the past just, I guess, overshadow her accomplishments. But as a sexual assault survivor, I will say that her adamant, never wavering, and consistent, those are all adjectives. Three words. I mean, the same thing. Just to say that Roe v. Wade was everything to her. A woman's body was a woman's body. Knowing that as a victim is super important to me, because in America we have this culture where we just do not believe women.
Mm-hmm.
Victims in general, but women especially, we don't believe them. And we create this huge space in our justice system. For example, have you heard of the boyfriend loophole when purchasing firearms?
No.
Ex-boyfriends who have been charged with domestic violence charges are able to obtain firearms and then go, and they have many times, murder their girlfriend.
What?
Yeah, it's because they're in a relationship. It's the boyfriend loophole.
So they're allowed to murder their...
Like, they're able to obtain weapons even though they've been decreed unable to, like, be...
But because they're together, then
exactly.
It doesn't count.
As someone with a restraining order, that's kind of fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
So, knowing that even when there's shit like that in our judicial system, shit like that that people don't even know about, huge gaps, huge, huge holes where... So many victims just fall through and they never get out. They have to die in that hole. They have to pass away knowing that that structure isn't getting better. Seeing a powerhouse of a woman be someone who said, hey, I'm trying to close those gaps, and not be apologetic about it and be loud and be proud and be confident about it. It was such a relief to victims, and her loss is every single loss of victims, because Roe v. Wade is huge for us. Even if you weren't even close to getting an abortion in your assault, that is about control over your body. It's about bodily autonomy, and bodily autonomy is extremely important when you're talking about survivors, and no one in the court really noticed that and really spoke out about it besides RBG. So seeing leftists talk about her faults, that I agree she had, at the drop of a hat at her death is so genuinely insensitive to the people they're supposed to be fighting for,
mm-hmm.
that it's disappointing. And I would expect it from the other side of the aisle, not in a disrespectful way, just because of their political leanings, but I think it's a really good testament to how divided we are right now, which I'm sure is something that you hear a million times a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Not just two sides, there are like anymore. Eight sides, I feel like, at this point. Literally. Just on the left, on exactly. the Democrat side, there are like eight different ways to classify yourself.
Can under you imagine blue. Like a socialist, if you call them a Democrat,
yeah,
like losing their fucking mind, yeah, as if that's what matters.
Yeah, or a leftist losing their mind if you call them a liberal,
bro.
Like, yeah, or Democratic socialist not being accepted by the Democratic Party, but
anyway.
But yeah, I completely agree.
And I think people should be able to get over nuance in times like these.
Yeah. And especially because we have so many important things to think about with her absence. That
which is so sad that such a powerful, strong person, mm-hmm. the first thing we have to talk about is who's replacing her.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. Let's get to it, baby.
Yeah, let's get through it.
Let's get truant.
We both know about that.
Ryan,
I did receive my truant letter last year.
We're not great at coming to school in time.
I'm doing a little better this year.
It's been like a month.
I definitely had Saturday school like last year. Right. Different story.
We're not getting truant. Let's get through it.
Let's get through it. Okay, so the whole thing is with her being gone right now. There is a 5-4, just normal majority. Of a conservative side, and that makes sense because, you know, there's never gonna be perfectly even. There's 9 judges, do the math.
But thank you for doing it for me.
In case you didn't know the math. No, but with RBG being on the progressive, I think she's the second most progressive. I think only Sonia Sotomayor is more progressive than her, but only by like 0.12 or something.
Mm-hmm. thank you so much for that.
But with her being gone, we are threatened by a conservative supermajority for a long time, because that's how the Supreme Court works. They have the role for a long time, and I don't think anyone conservative is about to step down right now. So that is a really big problem.
The fact that we have a rapist.
Yeah. Step one. and with that, a lot of things are in jeopardy. The Supreme Court has a lot of power. And the thing is with the Supreme Court, is they are allowed to decide what cases they hear. So when you hit a conservative supermajority, they have way more power to be able to grant writ of certiorari, which is pretty much just deciding to listen to a case,
mm-hmm.
To a Roe v. Wade challenger. And they pop up every year. They get up high every year, but they never take
Make
one.
It all the way.
Yeah. And with her being replaced by someone conservative before the 2020 election in November.
We might just get one.
Yeah, before November 3rd, if they do the Senate proceedings and get one placed, then a lot of things could happen that are not good. Like Roe v.
Yeah.
Wade could get challenged
Planned
and overturned.
Parenthood would literally just lose everything,
mm-hmm.
everywhere, not even just in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Like
all the
LA.
Services they have, like
the war on drugs would just jack off the whole
yes.
time. It would have an aneurysm and an orgasm at once.
It would.
Joe Biden would low-key be like, hey, I know I'm not supposed to be down with it, but I am kind of racist. My bad. Please vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I strongly believe that. I strongly believe everyone, if you are eligible to vote, should vote. If you could not tell from the ads. But as a survivor, I cannot in good conscience say that Joe Biden has no flaws.
Yeah.
I'm also just not a stupid person. And
yes.
I can recognize that you should vote for him.
I feel like everything we say, we have to have a footnote about it.
Yeah, because people don't like us! Whoop, whoop,
whoop.
Whoop.
What was I talking about?
I forget.
Oh, so now it has a really big chance of getting overturned if it wants to get hurt again. And not only that, but also getting, you know, just the right to basic safety for many queer people, especially queer people of color. You know, they could take away the civil rights of people just for their sexual identity or gender.
Let's not forget the Trump administration, in their first day in office, did just take away the entire LGBTQ section of the White House website. Immediately. Yeah. Immediately. Said, let's get that out there. Immediately. Get it away.
Immediately.
Scrap it.
All the to the back.
Scrap it. Immediately. Scrap it. And no, this is sounding like libtard propaganda.
All the websites to the back.
So sorry, though. This is just kind of our lives. Yes. At risk.
Yeah, so.
What do you think?
Okay, first of all, I meant to say gender identity and sexuality. I said sexual identity, which doesn't make any sense.
Hey, everyone, cancel Mariah. Immediately.
Sexual identity didn't make any sense.
Mariah Norman does not believe in gender identity.
Wouldn't sexual identity just be like
your sexuality?
Would it?
Yeah, what else would it be?
It would be like dom or sub or something.
No, that's just like your, I don't know.
Sexual preference?
No, that's your sexuality. Mariah, you are a straight cis woman.
Me not knowing what sex is.
Don't even talk. No, literally. Mariah's like, honestly, guys, I'm like,
here's my think piece.
here's my think piece. No. Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, the point is that
we are threatened. Wait, we're under attack. Wait, we're under attack.
Yeah, take over.
Roe v. Wade is on the table. We're talking about it. Let me give you guys a little story about Roe v. Wade.
Roe v. Wade story.
Versus Wade. Roe is the fake name for Jane Doe. Jane Doe was a sexual assault survivor.
Isn't Jane Doe a fake name too?
Yeah, it's fake. I don't remember her actual name. You can Google it, but you could Google anything we talk about on here. Why are you listening to me? Get the fuck out of here. She was, I don't remember her real name. I don't know why I'm saying that again. After the trial went through, Roe v. Wade was established.
Woo!
Great. We did it. Dub for women and sexual assault survivors. All sexual assault survivors, not just women. Then she comes out and says that she thinks that Roe v. Wade is wrong and bad.
Roe said that?
Yeah, Roe said that. And everyone's like, girl, you're Roe, girl. You know, in Roe v. Wade, babe, you are Roe. You know when someone's like, find the X in a math problem, babe, you are the X. And she's like, I know, girl. And then, you want to see the biggest turn of events?
Yeah.
On her deathbed, you want to know what little Roe peeped out?
What did Roe say?
On her deathbed, there was a conservative party that was on Wade's side of the whole thing that paid her off to publicly go against her past statements. And she actually did not believe it. And she lied through her teeth for years for that money. And
did she really need the money?
I guess fucking so. You can look into it more on your own. But that tripped me out, though. The fact that they
I didn't even hear that she'd like it. I just know shit, bro. Yeah, you do.
The fact that they were like, we know that your story is true. We're going to pay you to tell people it's not. And then she said, all right, let me do it.
She said, yeah, for sure.
I'm not going to say anything out of pocket because I don't know what her situation was. I didn't look too much into it. But a white woman does what a white woman does. Okay, I'm so sorry. I take that back. I revoke that statement. That was actually Mariah.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So
out of pocket, not I'm right in the pocket.
I am snuggly. Inside of the pocket.
I stay in pockets at all times.
All the time. I'm snuggled in the pocket. I'm enveloped by the pocket. It's very good.
I love being inside the pocket.
Inside the pocket. Inside.
We love women.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Good stance. Yeah, most of my listeners are women. I believe 57%, 67%. And then 20% are men, and then 13% were unidentified.
I thought it was only 2%.
20% are men.
No, I thought you said 2% were unidentified.
2%? Maybe. Maybe I lied.
Yeah, I thought it was more like 70-something women.
I guess so. I'm not good at math.
Unless I'm lying.
One of us is
lying.
And
then you can kill me.
You come across two dogs. One of them is lying. One of them is telling the truth. You have one question to ask. Which one do you murder on the spot? Which one do you shoot in the heart?
I thought this was like the train car question.
Which one do you kill? Which one do you disembody?
Have you ever heard of the train car? Have you heard of the train car question?
Of course I've heard of the train car, okay. But it's a fucking riddle, bro. And it's like, what do you ask them?
That's an ethics question.
Yes, no, bro. My thing was a riddle. You took over it with some weird ass shit about killing dogs. Which one? What question would you ask them to find out which dog was real? That told the truth, I mean. Who's a good boy?
I don't get it.
The liar would be like, not me. The truth teller would be like, I'm a good boy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Can you please do meth and see if it makes you smarter? Because I have a genuine theory that it'll work.
I am a little
stupid.
It just takes me a while to understand things.
Oh, wow. Tell us about that journey.
There's no journey. I know. And if it was, it'd be very slow.
You're hilarious. You ever think about that?
What am I rubbing on myself?
Holy shit. It's probably eyeliner. Like a bit of eyeliner that Luna like just put on the ground. Wow. Go wash your hands, girl.
There's eyeliner all over me.
Yeah, there is.
Should you pause it? Or how does this work?
Well, how about we end the episode real quick? What? We're at 35 minutes.
I know, it was just funny. It was like me... I just got into crayons or something.
Literally, like an idiot. That's so
and
funny.
And I'm like, Mommy, I have eyeliner over my
We were singing about you being stupid, too. That's so funny.
Yeah, and now we have to end the podcast because
literally
of
because of your stupidity. That's so funny. And the viewers were having such a good time, too.
Yeah, that's a very full circle moment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wait, we didn't even really unpack the whole, thing about filling her seat, though.
We should have talked more about that. Should we make a part two?
A part two? Yeah. Is this already too long?
Yeah, I think this is good. Should we make a part two? I feel like we have a good vibe.
I mean, what will we talk about in part two?
Filling her seat? Maybe, should we?
It's like us debating.
Literally on the fucking... They're like, why am
they're
I
like,
watching
They're
this?
Like, is there going to be a part two? They're all like on the edge of their seats.
If there's a part two, it's going to come out like 3 years after. I'm like, hey guys, so remember
like,
that
oh
one
God,
episode?
We're so excited to do the part two.
It's just 7 seconds of you and me being like, we graduated. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Your Local Brown Girl Podcast.
I'm gonna wash my hands and we'll be back for a part two.
We may be back, we may not, you don't know. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Aisha.
I feel like we can just finish it, Mariah.
Once I start the outro, you can't just desecrate it like that.
Why not? That'll be so funny if we're like, actually, never mind.
What's wrong with you?
I only have one thing to say. Can I say my final notes?
Shut your mouth.
Final notes.
Mariah, I'm gonna cry. Mariah, I'm
no,
gonna cry.
Can
right
I say my final
no!
notes?
You just howled. Notes? Mariah, we're ending it, okay?
What?
Mariah?
I have, okay.
Mariah, babes? Bibs?
So,
Mariah, this
I just
is
want
my
to
podcast.
You guys with one
Mariah!
Thing.
Hey!
And I'm Mariah.
Hi, guys, we're back. We're gonna go ahead and end the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really glad that you guys were here to join us on this journey. My name is Aisha.
And I'm Mariah.
Thank you for listening to Your Local Brown Girl Podcast. Bye.